Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Before the break, Lake Effect contributor George Stone talked about the state of green energy in Wisconsin and what he sees as its potential. It's a question that's being asked on a national scale, especially in the wake of some highly publicized missteps, such as the failure of the company Solyndra, which had significant funding from federal sources. Recently, the Wall Street Journal asked several experts in the field the question, what renewable energy source has the most promise? The answers ranged from natural gas to solar to a mix, but another view was expressed by Todd Myers. His take was that the answer should be driven by whatever the market dictates. Myers is the environmental director at the Washington Policy Center, a free market think tank in Seattle, and he's on the line with us now. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Why would you contend that market forces rather than policy would best dictate the future of green energy?
Well, what we see, I think, actually is that whether we recognize it or not, market forces have been the primary driver in the improvements that we've seen in sustainability. Politics and politicians are very good at taking credit, but they aren't very good at creating the direction. And the best example, I think, is one that people see every day, which is the Toyota Prius. The Toyota Prius is practically the symbol of environmental concern and environmental responsibility, and yet it didn't come from government ideas, government programs. It came from the free market. In fact, California's laws requiring zero-emission vehicles actually discriminated against hybrid vehicles in the early years, and it wasn't until about 2003 that politicians decided to jump on the bandwagon and start supporting hybrids. But Toyota and Honda saw an opportunity to sell cars to people who cared about the environment, wanted to use less fuel and impact the environment less, and so they created the hybrid, which was the best technology at the time. And it has become, you know, like I said, the symbol of environmental consciousness. That's what the free market does, and it's all around us. We don't always see it, though.
Well, what would you say the tipping point is? Why haven't market forces made green energy a bigger piece of the pie at this point?
Well, because I think that there are other things that are more useful. I think when you focus just on green energy, you become myopic and you lose sight of what's going on around you. In the last 30 years, the United States has cut the amount of energy per unit of GDP in half. And so while solar is still very inefficient and wind is certainly more efficient, but still less efficient than other forms of energy, conservation, more efficient equipment and technology, things that do more with less, which is what the free market is great at creating, are where the real innovations have come from. So if you only, you know, narrow your focus to solar and wind, then you say, well, gee, this isn't moving very rapidly. But if you look at all of the millions of things that people do in their day-to-day lives and that we're encouraged to do because it costs us money if we don't economize, then you're missing the vast majority of what's going on. And I think that's the real problem with politicians, is that they focus on the very sexy things, things that can be sold in public, but not the things that work.
There are a number of people who, in reporting for this series, have said that, you know, when you're talking about green energy, the ultimate green energy is just using less.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's old Ben Franklin, right? A penny saved is a penny earned. And so if you don't have to use that energy, then that's probably even better than solar or wind, because you still have to manufacture the solar panels, you still have to manufacture the wind turbines. But if you don't use the energy in the first place, you're doing better. And the same thing is true in transportation. I think one of the greatest green transportation approaches is going to be telecommuting, right? As we get more bandwidth, more people can telecommute to work. You do that, you cut, you know, one day a week, you cut your energy use by 20% just by doing that, which would be a huge reduction in the amount of fuel that people use. So those are the sorts of technologies that we need to be thinking about, not just narrowly focused on a few things.
Do you see policymakers as having any role in driving the technology discussion?
There's no question that a lot of these things, that CO2 emissions are not captured in my costs, right? Right now I can drive down the street and the CO2 and the other things that go into the air and impact other people I'm not paying for. So I do think that policymakers have a role to play in leveling that playing field and making it so that I have to pay the costs for the impact. I mean, this is something that actually I think, you know, conservatives and liberals agree on. You know, conservatives are very strong in the belief that if you cause damage to somebody else through crime, well, then you have to pay the price for that. And the same thing is true if you pour, you know, sewage into the water or put CO2 in the air that has an impact. You have to pay for that. And the way that we do that, and often the best way to do that, is to create a simple regulation or a simple price for that impact. The problem is that we get seduced by picking and choosing technologies or trying to figure out the way to solve those problems. And as I said, there's a million little ways that add up to more than the few big ways that politicians tend to focus on.
One could make the point, in fact, some have made the point, that government has always been involved at some level in picking winners or losers, whether it's, you know, in terms of providing tax credits for green technology companies these days, or making it easier for conventional power producers or oil and gas companies to do their jobs in the past.
Well, that's just an argument that says it happened, not that it's a good thing. And the example that I will give is corn-based ethanol. We spent a heck of a lot of money promoting corn-based ethanol, which we now agree probably is not even good in terms of CO2 reduction. It also is more polluting in terms of traditional air pollution. And frankly, I'm a beekeeper, and corn is horrible for bees. And if we're worried about bee collapse, the expansion of corn fields in the Midwest is one thing that people say is causing more stress on bees, along with some other things. So we've recognized now that the corn-based ethanol strategy has been really a poor one environmentally, and yet we did it. So just arguing that we have done things in the past doesn't mean that they're good or that we ought to do them in the future.
In your piece in the Wall Street Journal recently, you write that it would be wise to reduce the costs of taking risks in the process of discovering new technologies. How might that happen?
Well, there's a variety of things. In Washington State, for instance, where I am, we have a tax law that makes it very hard for startups, puts huge tax burdens on them. There have also been tax incentives for innovation, capital investment tax credits, those sorts of things, that have encouraged people to take risks today, to spend the upfront money to become more efficient today. Normally those things would take, you know, a long time to pay off, but if you give them incentives to do that, they can invest today. The other thing, though, is if you do put a price on carbon, the simple economics of efficiency change. What might not have paid off for 10 years now pays off in 7 or 8 and looks better. So I'm not a fan of getting too far down the road of incentivizing one thing or another, but I think if you do want to incentivize, either put a price on carbon or incentivize innovation, you do so with a very broad-based approach rather than saying these green energies are the ones that we want to promote. That tends not to work.
Todd Myers, they're all really interesting points and ones I'm glad you made for us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Todd Myers is the environmental director at the Washington Policy Center, a free market think tank in Seattle. You'll find a link to his recent contribution to a Wall Street Journal feature on renewable energy at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And for something completely different, we turn our attention to the circa the early 20th century, when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.